Voice clear.
Yes, Sheikh.
Okay. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. ما بعد، اليوم السابع من شهر صفر 1446 الموافق ل 12 من شهر أغسطس 2024. نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك أشراط الساعة. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه، وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So بإذن الواحد الأحد, today we have a short title which is about تعريف أشراط الساعة. Definition of the signs of the day of judgment. Definition of the sign of signs of the day of judgment. It's good to know the meaning of what you are doing so that you will be able to understand it correctly. As the scholar said, Al-Hukmu ala al-Shay'i farun an tasawwuri. For you to be able to judge, reflect, you need to understand. That's why if you don't understand, you will never be able to put it into action. To reflect upon whatever you are being told in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-An'am, He talks about those wasaya, al-jabbara, al-azima, those recommendations and advice for the success of human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ تَعَالَوْا أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ أَلَّا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا until the end of the three ayat. The first ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. It started with the ta'aqqul, which is the essence of understanding. If there is no aql, there will not be any understanding to that which you are being told by others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. In the second ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about the tadhakkur, بعد التعقل, because there is no way for a person to have the تذكر if the عقل is not there. So the last one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذلكم وصاكم به لعلكم تتقون. This is the wasiya from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that you can attain taqwa. So you can see the sequence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started with the تعقل because it is necessary for a person to understand what he is being told by others. In the second ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the تذكر because we assume that the person now has aql. In the third ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the taqwa, because if you have the aql, you use it to understand the text, and you're going to reflect bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal. And what is the result of reflection? Taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, that would not be a correct reflection. So this is the reason why it is necessary upon us to study this ashrat as-sa'ah. So inshallah, to study the meaning of these ashrat as-sa'ah, so that whenever we talk, you know what we are talking about. So bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal, I will have this short topic today, and then in the next class we'll move on to the beginning of the ashrat as-sa'ah as-sughra. Wait a minute, I lost the page. Sorry, I'm using PDF, so I just lost the page now. Okay, alhamdulillah. Okay, يقول المؤلف رحمه الله تعريف أشراط الساعة معنى الشرط أو الشرط. You should listen to the way I'm pronouncing it. You have الشرط and you have الشرط. الشرط بالتحريك. قال هو العلامة. هو العلامة. A sign. To something. When you say الشرط, then it will be علامة. A sign. When you say الشرط with سكون not تحريك, then it will be a condition. Condition that is known to the fuqaha. Something that has to happen for the validity to take place. If it doesn't happen, then the validity will be rejected. So if you recite and you read this word, والتحريك then it will be العلامة. وجمعه أشراط. The plural of the شرط is أشراط. قلت أشراط. And the second one, the other one is جمعه شروط. وأشراط الشيء أوائله. So when you hear the word أشراط something, أشراط الساعة, it means أوائل الشيء. The first part of that thing, the first part of that thing. أشراط الشيء, the أشراط of something is referring to the first part of that thing. ومنه شرط السلطان. And from this meaning, the people call those نخبة أصحابه أصحاب الملك أو السلطان الذين يقدمهم على غيرهم من جنده. Those special forces that the king or the leader is putting them forward, favoring them more than anybody else. It means those people who are special, you know, bodyguards, those people who are with him. So they call them شرط السلطان. شرط السلطان. ومنه الاشتراط الذي يشترطه الناس بعضهم على بعض. And also it is part of it, the condition that people have, you know, between or amongst themselves. You get it? Why did they say also it is related to that? Because الشرط علامة الشيء علامة على المشروط. Because شرط is a sign that indicates the existence of the مشروط. You get it? You make a condition, and if you fulfill this, you get this. If you have this, you get this. So if the shart exists, then the mashrut is going to exist. So that shart is a sign, you know, that indicates the existence of al-mashrut, that indicate the existence of al-mashrut. قال معنى الساعة في اللغة هي جزء من أجزاء الليل والنهار. Please tell the one to reduce their voice. قال معنى الساعة في اللغة the meaning of الساعة according to the language هي جزء من أجزاء الليل والنهار is ساعة means part of you know part of a day or night any part of a day or night we call it a ساعة so when we say a ساعة we're not talking about the hour the one we know in our contemporary time وجمعها ساعات وساع so what is the jam the plural of the sa'a is sa'at or sa'un you know wal laylu wan naharu ma'an 24 sa'a if you put night and day you know you have night and you have day if you put them all together you come up with 24 hours so when they say a sa'a they are referring to any part of the day or night this is the meaning according to the language. Huh? This is the meaning according to the language. As we always mention, it is necessary to know the linguistic meaning so that when it comes to the Sharia meaning, it will not be difficult for you to understand. Hello, ma'ana as-sa'a fil istilah al-shar'i. So what is the meaning of as-sa'a according to the Islamic or the technical definition? قالوا المراد بالساعة في الاصطلاح الشرعي الوقت الذي تقوم فيه القيامة. The time in which the qiyamah is going to happen. Okay? The time in which the qiyamah is going to happen. And when in Islam we say as-sa'a, we are referring to the time which the qiyamah is going to happen in it. وسميت بذلك لسرعة الحساب فيها أو لأنها تفجأ الناس في ساعة فيموت الخلق كلهم بصيحة واحدة. So why is it called as-sa'a? Some scholars said because لسرعة الحساب فيها because the حساب is very quick in it. And it just ساعة at this moment of a day, the حساب is going to take place. How many people pass this life and how many jinns pass this life? How many animals, you know, imagine everyone is going to receive his حساب accurately in detail with no deficiency in that moment of time. So that's the reason why it is called Sa'a according to the way some scholars have seen. Others said no, because it surprises people. It comes, you know, just like that.
I can hear.
Without. Assalamu alaikum.
I don't know what that is, Sheikh. Please continue.
Okay. لأنها تفجأ الناس في ساعة، فيموت الخلق كلهم بصيحة واحدة. Because it comes, you know, just like that. In a moment, you know, without any further notice. And then what happens after that? فيموت الخلق كلهم بصيحة واحدة. People are going to die, all of them, with no exception. With one shout, one blowing in the trumpet, everyone is going to go. So the wages come, and then people will just die just like that. And on the day of judgment, it will just, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the angel to blow, and then everyone will just come in a state of confusion. They said this is the reason why it is called a sa'a, because of the mufaja'a. Tufaji'u an-nasa fa yamutu an-nasu kulluhum fi dif'atin wahida. So both of these two meanings are applicable. Both of these two meanings are applicable. Lost the page again. Okay, alhamdulillah. قال فأشراط الساعة علامات القيامة، هي علامات القيامة التي تسبقها وتدل على قربها. So, okay, then what is the أشراط الساعة؟ قال هي علامات القيامة. These are the signs of the day of judgment, you know, that will come before the day of judgment, which is indicating that the day of judgment is very near. So those signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put to take place before the day of judgment, which are indicating that the day of judgment is very near. وقيل هي ما تنكره الناس من صغار أمورها قبل أن تقوم الساعة. These are the people that are strange things that will happen to the people, you know, strange things which are really abnormal, you know, minor things that will take place, you know, before the day of judgment. This is the Ashrat As-Sa'ah. Whatever comes which is abnormal, against the normal, before the day of judgment is called Ashrat As-Sa'ah. وقيل هي أسبابها التي هي دون معظمها وقيامها. And they said, some scholars said, these are the causes of the day of judgment because they have to happen first and then the day of judgment will take place. You know, دون معظمها. So you have the day of judgment, which is categorized and classified into different segments and categories. There are things which are so big and there are things which are small. So the small, small, small things that will take place before the day of judgment, these are what we call Qiyam, Ashrat al-Sa'ah. قال والساعة تطلق على ثلاث معاني. And when you hear the word الساعة, the scholars use the word الساعة to address one of the three things. Number one, الساعة الصغرى. Number two, الساعة الوسطى. Number three, الساعة الكبرى. So when the scholars said الساعة, they use it to address three things. الساعة الكبرى, الساعة الصغرى, الساعة الوسطى. الساعة الصغرى وهي موت الإنسان، فمن مات فقد قامت قيامته لدخوله في عالم الآخر. The first sa'a, which is sa'at al-sughra. You know, the sa'a itself is divided into three things, or the scholars use it to address one of the three things, either the minor hour, or the middle one, or the biggest one, the major one. الصغرى, the minor one, هي موت الإنسان, is referring to the death of a person. Because فمن مات فقد قامت قيامته. Because whoever dies, his قيامة begins. Whoever dies, his قيامة begins. فقد قامت قيامته. So ليش, why do we call a dead person, you know, why do we see him as somebody who already started his own قيامة? They said لدخوله في عالم الآخر, because he already entered the عالم الآخر, the world of the آخر, the next dimension. Yeah, because when a person dies, خلاص, for him alone, the قيامة already began, because he already entered that dimension. He's just waiting for the hour to happen. He's not waiting for the أشراط الساعة to take place, because he already passed that one. The one that will be seen, the أشراط الساعة, is us, living in this dunya. But for the one who already died, went to the grave, his qiyamah already begun. والساعة الوسطى, and the middle ساعة, وهي موت أهل القرن الواحد, is the death of the people, you know, أهل القرن الواحد, you know, one generation to die, you know, completely. All of them died. Is also called as-sa'ah. As-sa'ah al-wusta, we call it. You get it? A generation, a specific generation that passes, we call that passing. All of them, when they die, we call it as-sa'ah, as-sa'ah al-wusta. ويؤيد ذلك ما روته عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت كانت الأعراب إذا قدموا على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سألوه عن الساعة. عائشة رضي الله عنها said الأعراب these are the Bedouins. When you come to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم when you come to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم سألوه عن الساعة. They usually ask him about the day of judgment. متى الساعة؟ When is the last day? فنظر إلى أحدث إنسان منه. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he looked at the youngest one amongst them. You know, there was a time these Arab, they came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, they asked him about the day of judgment. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم looked at the youngest one amongst them. He told them, إن يعش هذا لم يدرك الهرم حتى he says قامت عليكم ساعته. He says إن يعش هذا لم يدرك الهرم قامت عليكم ساعته. If this person lives, he will not reach the old age until your qiyamah already begun. It means before that this person dies or before he reaches old age, all of you guys will die. You know, so the Prophet is referring to the maut. When he says sa'atukum, he's referring to the maut. So that's why they said as-sa'atul wusta is referring to the death of one generation because of this hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. In yash hadha lam yudrikul haramu qamat alaykum sa'atukum. Before this person reached the haram, haram is old age, he says qamat alaykum sa'atukum, ay mautukum. You will all die. وأن المراد ساعة المخاطبين. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is talking to the مخاطبين, those people that he is speaking to. The last one is الساعة الكبرى, the major hour. This is the يوم القيامة. وهي بعث الناس من قبورهم للحساب والجزاء. And this is bringing, this is referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bringing people out of their graves, you know, back to life for the hisab and recompense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring everyone. So that bringing, you know, of the people out of their graves alive is called as-sa'ah. It's called as-sa'ah. And this is the greatest one. This is the biggest one. Whenever you hear as-sa'ah, al-qiyamah, it's referring to this one. Unless if that is a circumstantial evidence which tells you that great meaning is not intended. قال وإذا أطلقت الساعة في القرآن فالمراد بها القيامة الكبرى. Whenever the ساعة is being mentioned in the Quran, the meaning is referring to the قيامة الكبرى. The قيامة الكبرى. Whenever you hear the word الساعة in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is referring to القيامة الكبرى. So we categorize the قيامة or the sa'a into three categories, right? So now you know the kubra, you know the wusta, and you know the sugra. So the sheikh said, whenever you hear the word al-sa'a in the Quran, whenever you see the word as-sa'a in the Quran, the reference is to the qiyamah al-kubra. Qala ta'ala, yas'aluka an-nasu an as-sa'a. Yas'aluka an-nasu an as-sa'a. أي عن القيامة. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says يسألك الناس عن الساعة أي عن القيامة. People are asking you about the ساعة. What does that mean? القيامة. وقال تعالى اقتربت الساعة أي اقتربت القيامة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says اقتربت الساعة is referring to the قيامة being very close and near. وقد ذكر الله تعالى القيامتين الصغرى والكبرى في القرآن الكريم. فتجده يذكر القيامتين في السورة الواحدة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about both the major and the minor qiyamah. And that's why you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about the qiyamah, al-sughra, wal-kubra عنوان سورة كما في سورة الواقعة، where we found in سورة الواقعة، فإنه ذكر في أولها القيامة الكبرى. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the first part of the Qiyamah, I'm sorry, in the first part of the Surah Al-Waqi'ah, Al-Qiyamah Al-Kubra. You talk about the Qiyamah Al-Kubra, the biggest Qiyamah. فقال تعالى: إذا وقعت الواقعة ليس لوقعتها كاذبة خافضة رافعة. الواقعة is one of the names of the Day of Judgment. If you remember, we already talked about that. Al-Waqi'ah is one of the names of the Day of Judgment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إذا وقعت الواقعة, when الواقعة happens at the Day of Judgment, when it takes place, and nobody can deny this, because now you're living with the reality. You know, only in this time of ours, you find a person who is having doubt, or who can have a capacity to, ability to reject the possibility of the Day of Judgment. You know, you have people who don't agree and don't believe that the Day of Judgment is true. But when it take place, and nobody will be able to deny it. When it happened, nobody will be able to deny it. As well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَيْسَ لِوَقْعَتِهَا كَاذِبَةً. Nobody will be able to deny it when it happens. خَافِضَةٌ رَافِعَةٌ. Subhanallah. So it will be bringing down the kuffar, wrongdoers, fusaq, the bad people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put them in the lowest level. Rafi'a, and it will raise up the ranking and the level of the believers. So the believers, they will be placed in that high position, and the non-believers, they will be humiliated on that day. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا رُجَّتِ الْأَرْضُ رَجَّهُ. You know, خَافِضَةُ رَافِعَةٌ. So this is a clear warning to all of us, you know, to prepare for this, to make sure that we work towards that which will put us in the higher position when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذَا رُجَّتِ الْأَرْضُ رَجَّهُ. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you want to know when is that going to happen, you know, wait until you see the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shake the earth, a great shaking. وَبُثَّتِ الْجِبَالُ بَسَّهُ. And فَكَانَتْ هَبَاءً مُنْبَثًّا. And the mountains, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn them into dust. They will be just like a dust that is scattered and thrown away by somebody. أعوذ بالله. وَكُنْتُمْ أَزْوَاجًا ثَلَاثًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, people will be divided into three. أَصْحَابُ الْمَيْمَنَةِ مَا أَصْحَابُ الْمَيْمَنَةِ. The people of the Yameen, what do you know about those people of the Yameen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will talk about them in the surah itself. وَأَصْحَابُ الْمَشْأَمَةِ مَا أَصْحَابُ الْمَشْأَمَةِ. And the people of the Shimal, you know, and these are the people who are being placed on the left side. They will receive their righteous, the book of record, on the left side, you know, through the left. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يَجْعَلَنِي وَإِيَّاكُمْ مِنْهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the سابقون السابقون. السابقون السابقون. أولئك المقربون. These are the closest people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the question is, these سابقون السابقون. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the umam as-sabiqa, those who came before us. And the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the ummah al-lahiqa. And then the vast majority of these sabiqun will be from the previous nation, and the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only a little. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the first part of this ummah, and also the latter generation of this ummah. You know, وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. But Ibn Kathir and others, they mentioned that no, the best approach is to use the word as-sibaq to define these people. To say that these are the people who are always doing the sibaq fil khayrat. They're always rushing, you know, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They compete with each other, you know, in terms of doing the righteous deed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيَبْلُوكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. So the competition between these people is for this. Who is going to be the best in terms of his approach when it comes to ibadat? That's why these type of people, you see them always rushing to the masajid, always rushing to the classes, always rushing to wherever they can find knowledge, always remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to charity, they rush and give first before anybody else. When it comes to going to the masjid, you see them first in the first line, you know. Subhanallah, we have heard a lot of, you know, among the Salaf Salih who are, you know, practicing this siba. Subhanallah. That's why they got all the virtues, which we lost, waliyadhu billah. And inshallah, we'll be able to catch up if we want. But they got all the virtues. You get it? One of them spent 25 years, never, you know, listen, never hear the adhan when he was out of the masjid. 25 years. Every prayer, Fajr, though. When he was out of the masjid, 25 years. We're not talking about 5 years or 5 days. No, 25 years. Within these 25 years, this person never listened to adhan when he was out of the masjid. Iwallah. These are the sabiquna sabiquna bi'idhnillahi azza wa jal. We mentioned about one of them, subhanAllah, whatever he is doing, whenever the muadhin says, Allahu Akbar, the first letter of the adhan, when he hears that, he will stop. They said he was cutting wood. Most likely that was his business. And then the muadhin, you know, make the adhan. Right when he hears the first letter, he was raising up the axe to hit the wood with it. But when he hear the adhan, he did not hit the wood. He stopped and he goes and prays. Is it a time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? فَتَشَبَّهُ إِن لَمْ تَكُونُوا مِثْلَهُ. Unless we try to come closer to them if we are not exactly them. So please be rushing towards the khairat and study, study. Wallahi, this is my advice to you, study. Don't be lazy. These days of ours is full of laziness and excuses. Everyone has excuses. Yeah, these excuses are not going to take you anywhere. So don't have any excuse. You know, you don't have excuse. You have a lot of time given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just about managing that time properly. You manage it properly, you will succeed. You don't manage it properly, you will fail in the way others fail. So it's my personal advice to all of you to really study, 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 study. Don't miss any class that you are attending. Always go to the classes as long as that class is benefiting you. And don't have excuses. Whether you know what is being told or you don't know what is being told, these are the classes. This is how they are. Sometimes most of the things you're going to be hearing in a day, there will be a repetition of what you have heard. And this is how we revise knowledge. This is how you get to remember everything you heard. That's why somebody was saying the difference between Sheikh al-Islam and us is that Rabbahu al-Ulama. You know, ulama, the scholars, gave it in Taymiyyah Tarbiyah. Meaning, most likely his knowledge is all sama'a, taken from scholars, as many scholars. Contrary to us, he said that Sheikh, most of our knowledge is from the book. And that's why you see dhakiratu qawiyya, aqwa, much stronger than our dhakira. Now, some of these scholars, when you go to their house, you might not find a lot of books, but they go to the library, they study from the library, and they go to the scholars. Wherever they can go, they go and learn. Because what you get from the scholars most likely will be more established than what you're reading from the books. Both have their own great benefits, but those scholars, they will establish a foundation in your heart, then you will be able to use those foundations to understand what you're reading in the books. So be serious. Be serious and honest to yourself. Don't miss classes based on excuses which you will regret in the future. There is always, inshallah, a better way to manage your time properly and combine between knowledge and other responsibilities. Qala, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ. So we know who is the sabiqun, right? And the sabiqun, they are everyone who wants to join. You know, the door is open. It is not restricted to the past, even people of today. Until the time يَرِثُ اللَّهُ الْأَرْضَ وَمَنْ عَلَيْهَا, everyone can join the sabiquna sabiquna if he wants. If he wants. You know, what to do to join them is already clear. So if a person wants, he can join them. ثُمَّ فِي آخِرَةً. So this is in the first part of Surah Al-Waqi'ah. Allah talk about the Qiyamah Al-Kubra. ثُمَّ فِي آخِرَهَا ذَكَرَ الْقِيَامَةَ الصُّغْرَى. In the last part of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about the Qiyamah Al-Sughra, وَهِيَ الْمَوْتِ, which is death. فَقَالَ فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومَ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَئِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. I guess we talk about this last درس. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to the human beings who are, not believing in the possibility of the day of judgment to take place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh, why can't you, since you have the capacity to reject, why can't you just return the soul when it reached the death road? Why can't you just return it, put it back to that person? Don't let it go out. And you guys are looking at that person. What? Allah says, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Allah is death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to pass this life in the good and correct way. Allah, we have heard a lot. We read a lot and we have heard a lot. Very critical moment. These type of things, when you hear the story of some people, subhanallah, it's really amazing and scary at the same time. I was listening to a story of a sister who passed yesterday. Not yesterday, but I got the story yesterday. SubhanAllah, very critical moment. A person is willing to say, the one who is next to him knows that, yes, this person is trying to say something, but they can't. They can't. The last thing they mention is that everything is done, and then that's it. They pass. SubhanAllah. Nobody understands what they meant until the time they pass, they left. One of the doctors, when he saw the moment, he told the one next to them, he says, please just go to them. Because these people, they have experiences of people there next to them. So he said, when he just saw the person, he said, you just go next to them and say shahada to them. Nobody knows what he's talking about until the time she passed away. Because he sees the sign which he used to see when people are about to die, but other people don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa antum hinaidhin tanzurun, Neither that person nor anybody who was with that person was able to bring her back. They were crying, everyone was crying, but that doesn't work. Malakul Maut, when he's given that instruction, wallahi, uqsimu billah, the person has to go, whether he likes it or he doesn't like it. That's why it really needs us to be prepared. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to prepare for this moment, good preparation, preparation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. We are closer to him than you, but unfortunately you guys don't see that. But we are there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Angels are there, very close to that person, very close. And he sees them. He sees them, but he cannot tell anyone. وَذَكَرَ الْقِيَامَتَيْنِ أَيْضًا فِي سُورَةِ الْقِيَامِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about the two qiyamah, also al-sughra wal-kubra, in the surah of al-qiyam. فَلَا أُقْسِمُ لَا أُقْسِمُ بِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La uqsimu bi yawm al-qiyamah. Allah swears by the qiyamah. So this is the qiyamah al-kubra. Wa hadhihi al-qiyamah al-kubra. Thumma dhakara al-mawta. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about death. Faqala kalla idha balagat al-taraqi. Wa qila man raq. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, kalla idha balagat al-taraqi. Wa qila man raq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the soul when it reaches the tarqwa. The throat, this part of the neck, when the soul reaches this place. And then people are talking about, is there anyone who can help? Looking for the medical doctor, somebody to give some medication so that we can, help this person. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, kalla idha balagat al-taraq. Wa qila man faraq. Wa dhanna annahu al-firaq. Dhanna annahu al-firaq means ayqana annahu al-firaq. A person is sure, 100%, having yaqeen that this is khalas, the end of his life. But what can he do? وَالْتَفَّتِ السَّاقُ بِالسَّاقِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْمَسَّاقِ. SubhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَلَّا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ التَّرَاقِي. So this is the mention of the qiyamah as-sughra. وَهُوَ الْقِيَامَ as-sughra. وَغَيْرُ ذَلِكَ كَثِيرٌ فِي الْقُرْآنِ الْكَرِيمِ مِمَّا يَذِيقُ الْمَقَامُ عَنْ ذِكْرِهِ. And we have so many other places that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, which time will not permit us to talk about that. The Qiyamah al-Sughra wal-Kubra are mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran and by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Sunnah in many places. وَالْقِيَامَةُ الْكُبْرَى هِيَ الَّتِي نَحْنُ بِصَدَدِهَا بِصَدَدِ بَيَانِ أَشْرَاطِهَا الَّتِي جَاءَتْ فِي الْكِتَابِ وَالسُنَّةِ. But the focus is on the Qiyamah al-Kubra, not the Qiyamah al-Sughra. And this is what we'll be explaining, inshallah, its conditions or the signs in this book of ours, and we will do that through the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is the end of this chapter, and I will not go to the next one, inshallah. Next dars bi idhn al-wahid al-ahad, it will be dealing with aqsamu ashrati as-sa'ah, idhnillah. So if there is any question, Adam, please do help us to read those questions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and tawfiq and be with you wherever you are. إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ جَمِيلٍ كَفِيرٍ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. نعم.
From Sister Morni, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Ya Sheikh, can a sister be at home, be the best wife she could be, and nurture her children to the very best she could, achieve to be among the Sabiqoon al-Muqarrabun?
Yes, because sibaq is not restricted to a specific type of thing. One of the greatest acts of worship that a person does, you know, especially the sisters, wallahi, is to take care of the jinn, to raise up a child that is capable of leading the ummah to the success, which nobody has the capacity to do it more than a woman. Whether we like it, whether we like it, that's the truth. With the cooperation of man at the side to help, you know, nobody can do that job if there is no intervention of her sister. So if she is to be sincere in taking care of the children, very serious on that, and he takes it as the responsibility from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not from the husband or from anybody else. No, this is Allah, command, you know, to her to do this, and she's doing it based on this. Why can't she be among the Sabiqun if she is truthful and sincere? And imagine if she raised up that child in a good way. She raised it up in a good way. Very righteous, dedicated person who led the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to success, who became a scholar, a mufti, minister, doing the right thing, president, prime minister, king, whoever this person is, you know, in the future, where the nation is benefiting, you know, from him. He took the nation to the success. Imagine every single thing this person is getting, the mother is getting the same thing. And actually taking that nation to success, she was the one who did it, not the son. Because she was one of the people who prepared him to do all of these things. The foundation was laid down. So it's a very great job that Shayateen in the West, they managed to convince our sisters that this is deficiency for a sister to be a housewife. A'udhu billah. It's a matter of choice for a person to choose to work or not to work. It's okay. As long as the place is conducive, it's okay. But when it comes to the virtues of taking care of a child, like, there is no room of comparison between this and others and other, whatever job she's going to get in this dunya. And that's why when we get busy with the other job, and we neglect the real job that Allah SWT put on our shoulder, because a sister also is thinking that she cannot be a great person unless if she does what the brothers are doing. Unfortunately, this is what we're doing nowadays. She believes that she cannot do a great job unless if she does what the brothers is doing. Unfortunately. That's why they managed to convince us. And you can see the nature of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at our kids. You know that, yes, we're not doing the right thing. Iwallah, the future is really, really going to be tragedy if we are not careful. We really need to change the way we think. Even if a person decided to work, it's okay, it's fine. But don't forget that great job that Allah SWT put on your shoulder, which you will be questioned by Allah SWT about that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالْمَرْأَةُ رَاعِيَةٌ فِي بَيْتِ زَوْجِهَا وَمَسْؤُولَةٌ عَنْ رَعِيَتِهَا. She's also a shepherd in the house of the husband. And Allah will ask her about that responsibility he put on her shoulder. So this is a very painful topic, but may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aid us and help us to be able to pass this test, and also to wake up, you know, to wake up. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to gain back our consciousness and understand life in the way it should be understood. And also be able to favor the Sharia over any other interest. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. Yes, Adam.
Question from Brother Ozair. السلام عليكم شيخ.
السلام ورحمة الله.
Would it be possible to ask for the explanation of this hadith? اقرأوا القرآن فإنه يأتي يوم القيامة شيخ.
Why don't you remind me last time, Adam? Next درس إن شاء الله.
Oh, next stars? Really? Okay.
Yeah, somebody should remind me before the next class, inshallah.
Okay, inshallah. Then from Sister
Sorry, was
Shafa.
that? You know.
From Sister Shafa, can we explain? Actually, this looks like the same question Azair is asking. They want to know about the ruling regarding vinegar.
Does it intoxicate?
It doesn't, but
Does it intoxicate?
the sister that is asking from Ozair's side says it contains spirit vinegar. So the difference between spirit vinegar and the vinegar in Malaysia is that when you're making spirit vinegar, it's an intermediary. There's like an intermediary stage where it is just alcohol. So it's like vinegar that is derived from alcohol, but the vinegar itself does not have alcohol in it.
Yeah, the one that is what you should focus on, you know, does it intoxicate or not? If it doesn't intoxicate, then a person can take it. You get it? You get it, Adam? Whatever
Yes.
intoxicates, it is not okay for a person to take it. But the khal, I guess this is what is called vinegar in English. A person can take it. It's halal for a person to take it as long as it doesn't intoxicate. That's why wine also can turn into khal by itself. And Islamically, when that happens, then you can use it. Although you cannot do the process yourself, or it is converted by itself, then a person can use it. The process of conversion cannot be done by a person, and it would be haram. But a person, when it is converted by itself, it changes into a vinegar or khal, a person can use it. So I give you this principle. Always focus on intoxication. Whatever intoxicates, it will be impermissible for a person to take it. You know.
Ozair asks, how do we find out if it intoxicates?
Was there, how can we find out when it, if it is intoxicated? I thought the root, right, the components, right? So if you don't see anything, then you will take it as the halal one. Yeah, to make life easy. When you go to the market, you're buying the vinegar, you read the content, and they wrote the halal sign, although this also turned to be doubtful. Then you take it. Or ask people who are having experience in this, Ozair, to tell you their experiences or their expertise. What do they know about this? If a person take it, then he will be intoxicated or not. Because there are other substances where the criminals, when they couldn't find the khamr, they used those one as alternative. Although primarily they would not use it, but if they couldn't find that one, they use that one. And they give them the same effect. So that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-khamru ma khamara al-aqla." Whatever covers the brain is called al-khamr. Whatever covers the brain, it is called al-khamr. So we don't need to say khamr has to be, you know, the extract from the grape or this or that. You get it? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam generalized. He says, "Whatever intoxicate, whatever covers the aql, this is what is called al-khamr." You get it? So you should ask those people who know, or check whatever place you can trust who can tell you exactly does this intoxicate or not. Otherwise, whenever you find something being sold by the believers and it is said that it is halal and you don't see any sign of intoxication in it, then use. That's what I believe, you know, to be the situation of the vinegar we buy in the markets nowadays. Wallahu a'lam.
From a brother, Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Is it haram to work in an environment that has ikhtilat, even if he tries his best to exclude himself out of it?
If the ikhtilat exists, as far as the ikhtilat is concerned, why do you go to that place and do the ikhtilat? Yeah, honestly speaking, why? If you ask yourself, ikhtilat, is it halal or haram? You will say haram. But if you're going to walk in a place that you have to do the ikhtilat, and how is it possible for you to control yourself? You know, yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good.
Abdurrahman is asking on behalf of a brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. Should a person focus on seeking
Salam
knowledge
rahmatullah.
before giving da'wah?
A person focus on seeking knowledge before giving.
Giving da'wah.
He should combine both, Abdurrahman. He should combine both da'wah and seeking knowledge. He gives the da'wah according to what he knows. He learns something, he can give da'wah within that limitation. The person shouldn't stay away from giving the da'wah because he studied. No, he does it according to his ability and time. Yeah, so I learn a little, I give da'wah within that limitation. If the person whom I am, you know, giving the da'wah to asks me a question which I don't know, I call a scholar and ask him. Or I refer him to somebody to guide him. But I shouldn't stop giving da'wah because of the study. No, da'wah is the job of every Muslim. Every Muslim, with no exception. But everyone does it according to his ability and also the time. Yeah, somebody has full time, you know, in da'wah, you know, can give full time in da'wah. Another person cannot give full time in da'wah. And if a person is smart, actually, he can make his life all about da'wah. Yeah, you work in a place, in a company. Yeah, in that place also be a da'i. Yeah, be a da'i with wisdom. Inshallah, people will be accepting the truth and you will see change in that company. You cannot say, no, this is just a job, you know, I cannot do anything. No, give da'wah, nasiha. Somebody does something wrong, advise him in a nice way. This is da'wah. You know, you go and tell him the truth, advise him on what to do. Spread the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your own place. The wife at home with the kids is da'wah also. When she's teaching the kids, what is she doing? Da'wah. When the husband does something wrong, she fixes him. What is she doing? Da'wah. And alhamdulillah, now with the existence of this social media, also everyone can contribute in the da'wah in the right way if they want to. So Abdurrahman, I believe combination of both is better for him. Keep studying and give da'wah on the way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Adam.
That's all, Sheikh.
Okay, alhamdulillah. So bismillah azza wa jal, I will stop here, inshallah. This is the second time I'm disappointing you. Inshallah, in the next class, do remind me a day before the class, inshallah. Then I will talk. Not tomorrow's class, the Thursday's class, inshallah. Then I will give you a full explanation of what you are looking for. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and tawfiq and be with you wherever you are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.